B-Pod Studios.
Clutch guy viewed for many years, right? And all those losses in championship games. And
I love Peyton.
I did too. He was my favorite guy ever, non-Eagle, to watch.
Nah, he was
in
awesome.
NFL history.
When he was good, before his, you know, the neck.
Yeah.
The neck robbed him of his arm strength.
Mm-hmm. Number two in NFL history, you mentioned him, Tom Brady. 35 fourth quarter comebacks. Drew Brees, number three, with 34. Then you got Unitas with 34 as
he's
well.
He's got 34, Drew Brees?
Yeah. 2001 to 2018.
He's an amazing story, man.
He really
to
is.
To be that diminutive at that position.
Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing where Sam Eagle gets up on him.
His tippy toes, like, you watch him throw from his tippy toes. He's bouncing.
Mm-hmm.
He's
tremendous.
Incredible.
Unitas, then Dan Marino had 33. Elway had 31. So does Ben Roethlisberger, 31. Eli Manning's 27. How about this, though? I was a little surprised at this number. Joe Montana, 26. But his team was always ahead, so he probably didn't have a lot of comebacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jay Cutler had 23, for goodness sake. But by the way, Nick Foles has 8 fourth quarter comebacks, and Carson Wentz has 4 at this point in their young career.
Wow, so he has 8? You know, you think of 8, how many career starts?
Let me look, because yeah, you're right, it's a great point. Nick Foles, it's not like, you know, he's a guy that has played 16 games a season for 7 years in the NFL. That's not what he's done. But when you look at his amount of games, so he's got 8 already, and that probably counts playoff as well, right?
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
So you put that into
it. Well, it definitely does.
So his career numbers, Nick Foles, sometimes, you know, when you're looking for something, the internet does not want to cooperate with you.
It's always the case, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the case right now. All right, so.
We'll get it later.
Yeah. But, you know, you think about that, though. You're right. He hasn't played a tremendous amount. He's played 54 regular season games. And in the postseason, Anthony, he has also played another four,
because he had the Saints game.
Yeah.
So he had
one and one.
Yeah.
So he's played 5. So, I mean, pretty good. It's a pretty good average.
8 out of, what'd you say? So he had
58 total.
8 out of 58.
59, sorry.
8 out of 59?
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
They come back like that? Mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah,
it really is. That percentage is amazing.
Yeah. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station broadcasting today from Andy's Diner in Conshohocken. And we go, Charles Davis at 12:20, by the way, will join us. He'll be the analyst chair for this game on Sunday on Fox. But let's go to Warren and Cherry Hill right now on The Fanatic. How you doing, Warren?
I can actually say good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Gotta tell you, this is going to be a great week. I'll tell you why they got a much better chance. And I've heard it a few times, but at the beginning of the year, we left out that kid Jargens. That's a kid that kid makes our run stoppage. So to me, he's the guy who takes care of Ingram. Now, all the Eagles have to do is look at a tape of Dallas playing New Orleans. I don't want to hear Jim Schwartz, because honestly, I think the defense is done in spite of him. I just don't like the guy. But if they don't get in Breeze's face, he's going to eat him up all day long. So they just got to put people in his face, run their offense the way they do, and let... They have Big Shot Bob. We got Big Throw Nick now. And I think it'll be a great game, and you can't ask for anything more, considering where they were, where we thought this team was going.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like they were dead and buried, right, Warren?
They were buried. Yeah, and it's so good. Listen, whenever you might get, Peterson might not be this or that, all I know, this is a guy who, it's such a silly remark, let them quit, but it happens. I'm watching it with the hockey team. No matter what happened to this team, they just strapped it on and went next week.
Yeah,
so as long as they believe it, I really don't care if they say nobody believes us and we're on our own. Whatever they need to do to beat the Saints. Now, as I said, you can't march up the field. You can't do those 12, 13 play drives. Too many bad things can happen. As long as you throw the ball down the field, which they didn't do in the first half, they did in the second. I don't care if it's an interception. You need to throw that ball deep to Jeffries. Let him go get it. Put points on the board and get in Breeze's face. And we got another week in the playoffs.
That's it, brother. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's right.
Live to fight another day, Warren.
Lots of success.
Yeah, brother. That's awesome. Yeah, you're right. Him and he's right about that. And that's why this team, I mean, the beauty of Doug, that's But I've been saying is how he keeps them together.
Yeah. Look, a lot of teams would have said, you wouldn't have blamed the Eagles after that 48-7 loss if they kind of just said, you know, we won the Super Bowl last year. We got fan base equity right now. They're not going to kill us. We're dealing with a ton of injuries again.
Well, actually, we would.
Yeah. To an extent. But we would have got over it.
It's tough love.
Yeah. But we would have got over it because you have the Super Bowl last year. You said, okay, we'll bounce back next year.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. I mean, you got to credit the head coach for that. You're right. He keeps them... makes him want to play for him.
That's his greatest gift. He knows what to say to him.
Yeah.
Guys want to play for him. He knows what to say. They don't quit.
He knows when to go to the whip.
And I don't think he's heavy on the whip.
No, but when he goes to it, I mean, you remember that audio last year?
Yeah.
Of, you know, we got to get this freaking offense going. Somebody's got to pull their head out of their ass. Yeah. On the sideline, that's going, come on, boys, wake up.
Yeah.
So when you don't do that all the time, it doesn't just become background noise so that when he does do it, it's more effective.
Yeah, he doesn't wear on. He's not one of these guys that's going to wear
on. Loves on you. Yeah. Remember, that's what
pull
he said.
Pull your head out of your ass!
Yeah. I mean, that was awesome. And the thing is when he goes to the whip, it's more effective. But he loves on guys, and that's why they love playing
for him. I just think that's because he was a backup quarterback.
That's his demeanor because of that?
Yeah. Like
you had to be the supporter.
Like I go back to that interview with Favre at the Super Bowl last year, and Favre talked about Doug saying that he just says all the right things.
He always knew the right thing to say.
Because I can.
Yeah, well, and you did. Let's go to Tim down in the Outer Banks checking in. Timmy, what's going on down there?
Hey, boys, what's going on today? How you doing?
Not much, man. You down there by where the Wright brothers flew the first plane?
Yeah, about a mile from my house.
Oh, there you go.
Right here on the coast, getting some beautiful weather here today. Hey, what I wanted to call and chat about real quick, and I'll let you guys go, is, okay, so when you have a dome game outside of weather, okay, what's the first thing that's an advantage?
Well, speed is the advantage on the car outside.
Correct. Okay, so I'm gonna further this one more. Is speed is not only an advantage to an offense, it can be an advantage to a defense. What's the Eagles' strongest point on their defense?
Defensive line.
Exactly. So you have defensive line with now an advantage to the offensive line because of speed. What else would you say is an advantage if you were a defensive coordinator? What would you do to now make Breeze uncomfortable? You'd want to probably jam the receivers, quick rush. The one thing that Breeze does not have, and he's good as far as shifting in the pocket, that I give him credit for. One thing he doesn't have is he's not a terribly mobile quarterback. He can move, but he's not like a Trubisky who can run. So I think if the Eagles' cornerbacks can jam the receivers and
I think that's the biggest problem you got, Timmy. I mean, I philosophically, I completely agree with you, but I don't think the Eagles' corners, I don't want them jamming because they can get beat badly. And see, the problem with Breeze is he gets the ball off so quickly and he slides.
Yep.
So
here's something else that would be an advantage to our defense. What does Jim Schwartz not do?
Yeah, blitz. I agree with the blitzing aspect, not selling out the blitz.
He doesn't blitz,
but I'm not buying the speed aspect on the defensive line.
Yeah, and you're not asking for him to blitz this week. You laid out the plan on how to slow them down, and you don't want to get beat up on chunk plays in the passing game. You don't want to load up the box to stop the run.
I'm going to go back to that playoff game that happened at Lincoln Financial Field. And I lost it. And I know Nick Foles left with the lead, and I lost it. But I still think it was the right game plan. The Eagles lost that day. The Saints, if you remember, the Saints, with Darren Sproles.
That's right. He was their back.
The Saints ran the ball all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But the game was so close, you were in it.
Yeah. That's the way to level the playing field. And then you hope for those penalties and more opportunities at turnovers.
Yeah.
By more plays and speeding up the clock, which could mean maybe one less possession or two less possessions in a half or the game, which could be the difference. And then you're right. I agree with you, too. The four down territory thing will affect your play calling so much, because if you're at certain points on the field, third and six, where everybody thinks you're going to pass the ball there, you run the ball.
All right, so
pick up four and a half.
That's exactly. Do you remember the? Did you watch the championship game Monday night?
Oh, the national championship. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Twice in the third quarter, Alabama had third and sixes. They had driven that length of the field, and they were inside the 20. But they had third and sixes twice,
and they knew they were going to go for it on fourth.
No, that was the problem on third. Both times on third and six,
incomplete.
They threw it. And they were incomplete. Whatever. There was one that looked like a penalty, but whatever. But that was the wrong call. If you know, you got to go for it on fourth down. So what did they do? They went for a fake field goal, which was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no business making it, because Clemson was ready for it. And then the fourth and six was incomplete. So, or actually two, ran for it and got stopped a yard short.
Yep.
That's why on third and six, you run it.
Yeah.
Or you go with an easier completion.
Yeah, a little, just a little flare pass to the outside or something.
Yeah.
And you may catch them off balance, too, because you're not throwing the ball beyond the sticks, and that's what they're guarding.
Yes.
610-632-0975, that is the number to get in. We are live at Andy's Diner in Conshohocken. It is the midday show. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. Charles Davis of Fox is going to join us coming up next. Yeah, we'll talk to Charles, get his impressions on this game, which will happen on Sunday at 4:40 at the Superdome down in New Orleans. Divisional round of the playoffs, Eagles-Saints. Line holding firm at 8 right now. We'll talk to Charles Davis coming up right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic. I can tell you about Window Nation, because Window Nation, myself, we're wishing you a happy new year, and there's something to be very happy about in the new year. It's Window Nation's 000 sale, where you get zero down payment, zero payments, and 0% interest for a full year until 2020. But that's not all. Window Nation's 000 sale is also a triple deal. You'll get $200 off every window, any size, any style, and with a whole house order, Window Nation will pay your heating bill until the new windows are installed. So you're going to save hundreds, even thousands of dollars, both now and who knows how much more, with energy savings plus higher home value for many new years to come. So start this year with Window Nation windows for an inviting, warm, cozy, and comfortable home. But the 000 sale, it's going to end soon. So visit windownation.com today for zero down payment, zero payments, and 0% interest for 12 months. And on top of that, you'll get $200 off each window with no minimum purchase required. Plus, Window Nation, they'll pay for your heating bills until the new windows are installed. So you can save today, save tomorrow, save for new years to come, all by calling 866-90-NATION, or you can visit windownation.com. Again, that's 866-90-NATION, or shop online at windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox will join us momentarily. Of course, he'll be calling the game coming up on Sunday. 4:40. Eagles playing at 4:40 on Sunday. You talk about that rhythm of the week, Anthony. 4:40 last week on the road. 4:40 this week. Neither flight that exorbitant, not that far. The travel, not an issue. That's why you want to play in Dallas the week after instead of L.A. And boom, the Eagles will be down, taking on the Saints 4:40 on Sunday.
What a treat. I know Charles is calling us now, but it's got to be a treat for him to be able to call this game. It's such an interesting, the storyline is really, really interesting, because you have what happened the first time between the two, right? And then you have the story of Foles and the whole resurrection story.
Well, let's go back to what happened the first time. You make a great point. We talked about this. We dipped our toe in this yesterday. Let's jump into this. Charles Davis will join us in like 2 minutes. The first time was the 48-7 game. What really the big thing about that game is that the Eagles felt like the Saints didn't win with class.
Listen, They have, first of all, Sean Payton, and you remember Malcolm Jenkins giving Sean Payton a double bird.
And Malcolm played for him, won a Super Bowl under him.
Yeah. Now, by the way, did we get any Whoville characters?
No, Sean I haven't Payton? Seen any Whoville characters.
I'm going to make the plea one more time. Can we get Sean Payton as resident of Whoville?
He looks like the Grinch.
Exactly like those people, the Grinch,
yeah.
In the town.
Yep, the whole town. He's a resident.
I made you look at it yesterday, man.
We did after the show. But no, that's a big factor that the Eagles felt like they got disrespected.
Well, the Saints have a bug. They got a bug up their keys there when it comes to the Eagles.
Yeah, why is that?
I mean, you saw what happened after the Minnesota loss last year.
They were talking smack.
All they kept saying was, if that was us, we would have beat the Eagles.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. You know what I mean? It's like the Saints players got to bug up their rear end about the Eagles, and the Vikings fans have a bug up their butt about the Eagles and the Eagle fans.
Yes. Yes.
But I like having to bug up people's butt because that takes their head out of the game a little bit. For the Saints. You want to talk about that last year? They should all wear their Super Bowl rings in warm-up.
I know.
That would be classic, wouldn't
it? That's great.
See what you guys don't have? They should have a ring ceremony on the sideline in pregame.
It's true.
Let's go to the man right now. You'll hear him on Sunday. He calls the game with Kevin Burkhardt. He'll be calling Eagles Saints, and he joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Charles Davis. Charles, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. I hope you guys are the same.
Oh, fantastic.
So, real quick, this storyline of Nick Foles, right? We've talked to you. Jason and I have talked to you all throughout the season. But this storyline, what's it come close to? And for all the years that you've been involved in this game, give me a better story.
I don't know that there is one in terms of what we're talking about now. Obviously, if we're talking about someone coming back from catastrophic injury and playing, look, there's no better story than Thomas Davis with the Carolina Panthers. Three ACL, same leg, and playing at a productive Pro Bowl level in the NFL.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. All right, he's a medical marvel. But if you're talking about the basic story of player gets his chance, doesn't work as well as he wants to, has one glorious season, goes to a Pro Bowl, ends up getting benched the next year and traded, thinking about being out of football, comes back, takes his team to a Super Bowl after an injury to a starter who was going to be the MVP of the league if he had gotten hurt, one more game? I mean, it was that deep into the season, right?
13 games, yeah.
Right? You know, if he goes one, two more games, he probably still wins the MVP this Carson Wentz. But Foles comes in, and at the end of last year, you guys know better than me, and tell me if I'm wrong, the end of last year, did Philadelphia collectively think that Nick Foles was going to carry them to a Super Bowl?
No.
The answer was no, right?
No.
At the end of the regular season, there were too many question marks. Oh, my God, we can't make a third down. We can't get a first down on third down. We can't do this. Yeah. And it happened. And then he comes back to start the next year because Carson Wentz isn't ready, and they don't play very well, right? It's kind of up and down. We got to get Carson back. He comes back, and he gets this other chance, and he hits it again. It is a story that's off the charts because we've had backups win Super Bowl. Jeff Hostetler did it for Phil Sims with the Giants. Doug Williams did it for Jay Schrader with Washington. Trent Dilfer did it in Baltimore when they benched, I believe it was Tony Banks. You know, you can go right on down the line. So we've seen that before, but a chance to do it 2 years in a row, coming off the pace twice, it's about as good as it's going to get.
Yeah, it's amazing too, Charles. You know, the storylines that go into this game are so interesting. And Anthony and I were just talking about it. And we go back to week 13 on November 18th when the Eagles lost 48-7. And Malcolm Jenkins was demonstrative in his opinion that the Saints had run it up. Jason Peters brought it up after the Chicago game this week that this time is different. We coming. That's going to play a part in this game, isn't it?
It is, because these guys have pride. They're professionals. Now, once the ball's kicked off, I don't think there'll be a whole lot of, hey, 48-7, as guys running up and down the sidelines. That's all part of the preparation. That's all part of watching that game tape to remember how you felt that day when the embarrassment kicked in. Because anyone who's ever been an athlete, you've been in that spot before, right? It's rare that you can talk to an athlete and go, you ever been in a spot where you go, no, I've never been embarrassed. Yeah, right. It happens. It happens to the best of people. So they can remember all that and use it as fuel. But once that ball's kicked off, now it's back to playing ball. And that's good enough for Philadelphia because look at what they've done down the stretch. Look at them going into Chicago against, you know, one of the best defenses in the league and doing what they did with them. You know, this team has been battle tested, and I know it's a little bit of a cliche, but maybe it helps sometimes if you're actually playing playoff football while the regular season is winding down. Because for Philadelphia, those last four games were playoff football.
Yeah, it's true.
They had to win those games. And so them continuing on now, 48-7 after what they've been through, I don't know that that's as big a hurdle as it might be if they'd lost 48-7 last week and all their guys were still beat up and injured.
Yeah, you know, they had a chance to get some people times, back. Right?
Yeah, hey, listen, they had a chance to get some people back since that game. Plus, guys who had to play then are much better players now with the experience of having been on the field.
Sure. And we've seen this before, right, Charles? Like, we're talking to Charles Davis. He'll be calling the game on Sunday with Kevin Burkhardt. And we've seen this where a team may lose big during the regular season but comes back in the playoffs. Look, it happened to the Eagles against the Arizona Cardinals in 08.
Yeah, yeah. And look, let's just take it to the AFC this year. The Chargers were one of the hottest teams in the league coming off of having gone to Kansas City and beat the AFC leading Chiefs on a Thursday night game in a huge win without their two starting running backs, their best two running backs. They come home, here come the Baltimore Ravens, Saturday night game, and the Ravens jumped on them.
Yeah.
I mean, the score wasn't 48-7, but if you watch that game, probably after about 5 minutes in, you never once thought that the Chargers could win that game. Baltimore controlled the whole thing. 3 weeks later, fast forward, in Baltimore now, the Chargers turned it completely around. So this happens a lot in this league, and the blowouts are rare. Blowouts usually don't mean the other team is that much better than they are. That day, things snowballed. And guess what? I mean, I remember a few years ago, you remember when the Eagles played on Thanksgiving Day and got killed? I don't know if it was in Dallas or Detroit. I mean, remember that one?
Yeah.
A couple of weeks later, I think maybe a week later, I ended up having the Eagles at Patriots game. And what happened there? Blocked some kicks, made some plays. Beat the Patriots on the road. Mm-hmm. That's the NFL. That's life in the NFL.
Yeah. Charles Davis from the NFL and Fox joining us on the Comcast Business Sideline. You'll hear him Sunday doing the game with Kevin Burkhardt, Eagles Saints. Charles, Anthony laid out what his plan would be from a defensive standpoint to slow down this high-flying offense of Drew Brees and the Saints. How do you think the Eagles should approach this, trying to go score for score with this team? They can get you into a track meet, but that's not advantageous probably for the Eagles and what they can do offensively.
Yeah, I don't think very few coaches want to have track meets, right? I mean, you're asking a lot because that means every possession has got to be a scoring possession. And that's rarely realistic. What I like about the Eagles in their defense in recent weeks is they're back to playing that Eagles defense where they slow down the running game. Because you guys remember in the middle of the season, that was a real problem. People were running the football, gashing them. In the last four or five games, they're back to having it. Getting Jernigan back is huge. That's a big part of what he does.
Yeah,
allows Fletcher Cox to be Fletcher Cox without extra hands on him. And then Michael Bennett has steadily increased the number of snaps he's taken, and he's an underrated run defender. You know, we think about him rushing the passer. He does a really nice job with his hands playing the point of attack as well. So that's allowed now Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham to make more plays on the second level tackling people. That's a big part of what they're going to have to do because we think about the Saints as being high-flying, and they are, but never underestimate how they run the football. I believe they're sixth in the league running the football with Ingram and Kamara. And the last time the Saints won a Super Bowl, do you know they finished in the league running the football? Sixth. So running the ball is important,
It is, although, the one thing I worry about from an Eagles standpoint is the youth at corner And you saw the Bears have success, double moves on Maddox. Yeah. And so, you know, listen, I'd much rather give up sustained drives to the Saints with the running game than those what happened 48-7 where those strikes, because those quick strikes just kill you.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot out of you, and, you know, things turn around so fast. And you're poor, you know, you do that and your offense right back on the
right.
Field, knowing that they have
there's that pressure on you right that you got to answer.
Yeah, now you have to match right away. But exactly. I think that in a game like this, Schwartzy will show a lot of different things, maybe some things we haven't seen a bunch before, about Jim Schwartz, a defensive coordinator. He's not going to change their whole personality, but they're back playing well against the run. The upfront guys are rushing the passer well. Yeah. It will allow him to give more help, I think, on the back end with his own coverages. And maybe they're not having to be in a position where the double moves on each time you hold your breath. Plus, a kid like Avante Maddox, he's young, but he's intelligent. I think a lot of times you grow from some bad experiences. It doesn't necessarily mean the very next game, here comes the double move, oh, he's in trouble again. It might be the double move he might be ready for.
Charles Davis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Charles, a lot of us are relying on the magic of Foles to win this game. That, you know, the Eagles are up against a good opponent. They got home field for a reason. Can the magic be what carries the Eagles? How do you see this one playing out?
Well, I think the magic comes into play if the game continues to stay tight. And that's what they had with Chicago. You know, the game didn't get away from them where you had to change personality and all of a sudden it's total gunslinging out there. Gave them an opportunity to make plays and they did. And this type of game can be that game. You know, the Saints, remember, at one point we thought no one could slow them down. And then they went to Dallas on a Thursday night. And they haven't quite been the same high-flying team that we've seen since that night. Are they still potent? Of course. But here's the thing. Michael Thomas had 125 catches. I mean, he sucked up like 30% of their catches for the year. Kamara is going to be your next big target, and you probably have to treat him a lot like a wide receiver. The question is for the Saints, is Ted Ginn going to give you anything coming back off of IR? Traquan Smith, the rookie out of UCF, Keith Kirkwood, Tommy Lee Lewis. Who's going to help take pressure off? Because you know darn well in playoff football.
Kirkwood's a Temple kid.
Yeah, but in playoff football, what do you have to do? You got to take away what they do best, right? We always talk about with Belichick. Well, that's what definitely. All coaches want to do. So you're going to try and take away Thomas. You're going to try and take away Kamara. Who's going to step up and make those plays? Here's an opportunity for other people for the Eagles.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to see what Magic Foles can do. You know, remember the Philly in the Super Bowl that it was his call. That he gave it to Doug. Well, and
Doug Green lit it, yeah.
And same thing happened Sunday, where that play to Golden Tate, he's the one who suggested it.
And how much credit should be going to Doug Peterson for being able to not just listen to your player, but believe in them by green lighting the play and then backing them on it after it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And I think Doug Peterson's the guy that if the play doesn't work, he would have stepped forward and said, I greenlit the play because I believed in him. It just didn't work. As opposed to, I can't believe we made that call.
Yeah, we didn't execute.
That's just not how they go about business. There's a lot of confidence from both sides in how they go about doing it. And that's helping carry them. You know, that culture they built is what carried them through a really rough season. And now that season can all be, I'm not going to say wiped away, that season could be fondly remembered as, boy, we one year we raced through the league. Our adversity was Carson Wentz. This year, their adversity was all throughout the year. And maybe the saving grace could be Nick Foles for a second time. Who knows? We're going to find out starting Sunday.
Hey, and this thing for me, Charles, real quick. Carson, what would you tell him? I mean,
I've talked about this for a while, and I fall back on human nature, okay? Carson Wentz is has as much character as any youngster I've been around in a long time. We've seen him exhibit it for two seasons now in terms of these types of runs, where he's right there, he's in the ear, you know, he's there for Nick when Nick needs him, suggesting things, you know, not going overboard on it. How about, you know, when Nick gets hurt against, I think it was against Houston, And Sudfeld's going to have to go in. And Carson's the one calling Jason Kelce to come off the field and give the kids some snaps so they don't have any mishandled snaps when they go out. He's locked in on his team. He's fully engaged as much as he can. But human nature tells me that in the quiet of going home, there have to be some tough moments. He's a competitor. It's supposed to be his team. The second year in a row, injury has knocked him out. And his backup is taking his team to places that he wants to take them. Would he trade anything for the, would he trade the wins for him, you know, feeling better because Nick didn't do it? No, he wants his team to win. But you're kidding yourself if you think it doesn't bother him as a competitor. Like, are you kidding me? 2 years in a row?
I know.
Like, my team he's got out there.
I know.
But the bottom line is the face you see that we see is a face that they have to have around that facility. And I give him a ton of credit for that. Whatever he wants to do in the privacy of his home, more power to him, however he has to get through it. And again, human nature tells me there have to be some rough moments, but he doesn't bring it with him to the facility at all. He doesn't bring it with him to his team. That's a big credit to him, big credit to Nick Foles and how they both handled this.
Hey, Charles, we appreciate you doing this. Have a great broadcast coming up on Sunday. We'll be watching.
Thanks a lot, guys. You take care of yourselves. Great chatting with you again.
Charles.
There he is, Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox. I'll be on the call with Kevin Burkhart as the Eagles take on the Saints in a divisional round and looking to punch a second straight ticket to the NFC Championship.
You know who's better than Charles?
No one.
Harry Mays.
I wasn't expecting that.
Harry Mays has come to Andy's Diner.
Yeah, he's here for a little.
My boy,
he likes eggs.
It's nice to have
him. Look, he's having a beer. Yeah. Screw eggs. They got a bar here. Boy, what a great thing. Now, the one thing, Anthony, I want to talk about this coming up because you asked Charles about what do you say to Carson?
Yeah, I mean, can you remember a guy that's in a worse spot?
No, because this is 2 years in a row. And what this does, too, and to no matter what happens going forward, this is adding to the pressure on Carson Wentz as the franchise quarterback. So Foles leaves, they trade, whatever.
I love him, too.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about a test of faith?
Whew. It's faith in yourself, too, right?
Well, you know, I mean, look, all right, so let's think about this for a second. You know how religious he is.
Yeah.
How spiritual he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ultimate test of faith, right?
Yeah.
Like, questioning it's one thing about money and all, but you're now like what you thought was like, it was almost a tease. You were like about to ascend to superstardom. And now you don't even know if you have it's your job.
It's been paused on you twice because of injury and success that's followed. Yeah.
Like the success last year,
oh man,
it came to a screeching halt, but you had great success. This year's just been a tough, difficult slog.
610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. And we'll get back to the phones coming up right after this. It is the Midday Show. We're live at Andy's Diner in Conshohocken. Back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
That's right. We are at Andy's Diner here in Conshohocken. And there's H. Mays. Come see us Friday. Maybe we can get H. Mays. Come see us Friday. The new sports book at Parks Casino. Right off the street road. The exit off of 95. Parks Casino is Pennsylvania's number one casino. And so close to everywhere in the Delaware Valley. The Parks Casino Sportsbook is open today to the public for testing from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Sports betting officially launches the Parks Casino tomorrow at 2 o'clock, pending PGCB testing and approval. The Parks Casino Sportsbook is a game day destination and sports betting hotspot for NFL, MLB, NBA, college sports, soccer, boxing, and MMA, golf, and tennis, and much more. Amazing viewing experience with HDTV screens everywhere. And Parks Sportsbook 16-by-9-foot screens that can show 28 games can play at the same time. 7 live teller windows, full-service bar, and comfortable seating to watch the games. 26 self-service kiosks coming very soon. Parks Casino will be offering sports betting at the South Philadelphia Turf Club. Sports betting at the Valley Forge Turf Club will open up later this year, and permanent sports book to open in mid-2019. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, coming up, don't forget, top of the hour, the Foles Faith Line. It's the Nick Foles Faith. I love this concept of the positivity.
Positive thoughts breed positive results.
Yeah, yes.
The theory, right? Is it a theory or reality?
So wait, you know what's amazing? I'm just looking at this game-winning drives. Mm-hmm. So Foles is 12.
12?
Yeah.
All right. Where are you getting that from?
Johnville.
All right.
My boy VG.
I went to the...
I love that Harry. Harry's around laughing. Johnville.
Well, the one the guy sent me was the NFL one.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's... Does that count playoff games or not?
It may not. It may be just regular season. Let me go back. I'm going to check it again. It's fourth quarter comebacks.
Would know.
VG would?
I trust him.
He's a researcher, VG.
Yeah, he does. I trust him. I do.
Violations, Greg. All right, now I can't get on the website for some reason. It's Pro Football Reference. So maybe it's 12. Okay, here we go. He's got 12, right?
Yes, 12 out of 59.
All right.
20%. That's 20% of the games he's brought you back.
Mm-hmm.
Breeze, 277. Career games, 51. Okay, game-winning drives is different than fourth-quarter comebacks.
Okay.
So that's where the disparity comes.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can change my thing here to game-winning drives.
Right.
All right, I'll see if I can change that on here, but I'm not sure that I can do that.
But he's got 12 out of 59 game-winning drives.
That's crazy.
A higher percentage than... Now, again, it's obviously smaller than Brady and Manning, but Brady and Breeze. But it's pretty impressive.
Well, he also has the highest quarterback rating of any playoff performer in the history of the NFL, which is nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And again, only in 59 total games, both playoffs and regular season, which is astounding. 610-632-0975. Let's go to VT Ron checking in. What's up, Ronnie?
Oh, Ron.
Oh, boys. What's going on?
What are you doing, buddy?
Good? Hey, what am I doing? I'm planning our route, Ant. I'm planning our route. We got rooms at the Marriott right on Canal Street, and we're probably going to get down there. We're going to try to meet down, and we're waiting on one guy. So we got the rooms. We got to get the tickets. And I'm thinking about you. Oh, man. I tell you what. There ain't a better venue than New Orleans to go to a big game at. You can walk to everything. It's crazy down there for a big game. It's just the best venue. I've been to 3 Sugar Bowls down there, and I've been to a Super Bowl when we went in 1980. What a great place to go. It is just amazing. Hey, if you can get down there, man. It's awesome. It is awesome.
I'm curious how many Eagle fans, if this will be a trip, a road trip, or... For a lot of Eagle fans.
Well, I think a lot of Eagles fans, you know, look, I like to travel. That's just me, and I like to go. But I think some of the other Eagles fans, maybe this game isn't big enough. If it was the NFC Championship game, maybe that'd be a different story. But maybe with this, no. But as far as the venue goes, you can't beat it. And I'm just going to run this by you real quick, and then I'll get my Eagles point. Trevor Lawrence, 20 for 32, 342 yards and 3 TDs. Justin Ross, 150 yards receiving, and they are both true freshmen.
Tell me what
Harry thinks about that. That's a scary thought, is that not?
Trevor Lawrence throws bullets. He's just outrageous.
I'm going to make a bold statement here. He's going to win back-to-back Heismans.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while since that's happened.
Well, I'll tell you what, if somebody's going to do it, the kid is 6'5", he throws bullets, and he throws bullets right where they're supposed
to be.
He's
a good kid, too. Smart.
He's a good kid. He's a good-looking kid.
Were you shocked at Tua? Like, I was shocked at Tua.
Yeah.
did not play well. I mean, he was throwing the ball before he was even getting a read on what Clemson was doing defensively.
Hey, Ant, I tried to get in yesterday, but then I had to do some work, and I couldn't because I wanted to discuss. I thought Trevor Lawrence going into the game was the better quarterback. What happened was Dabo and Venable took Saban and Staff to school. They were one step ahead of him the whole game, were they not?
Totally.
That was part of the enjoyment factor too, Ryan. We appreciate the call. That was part of the enjoyment why I enjoyed that result. That's like seeing Saban getting taken out to the woodshed.
It's like seeing Belichick get his.
Yeah, it's like the devil getting beaten up by Nick Foles.
Right.
You know? That's the parallel. I can't stand Nick Saban. I like to slap him in the face with, like, one of those big hands.
If you go your top five most hated coaches, Sean Payton's up there for me.
Is he really? He's that high in your top five? Well, I
hate that dude.
I don't hate Belichick, though. I respect the hell of him. The hell out of him. Like, I didn't hate Parcells.
The question is this. I love Parcells. And even though Peyton's a Parcells guy. But give me the guy, the top five coaches you want to lose.
All time or current?
All time. Whatever.
In any sport. Okay.
No, football.
Can I go college football, too? Or just NFL?
You can do college.
All right. Well, Saban's going to be in there because he's an arrogant. And I remember watching him when he coached the Dolphins and that white windbreaker used to irritate me.
Yeah, he's got arrogance on speed dial.
Yes, he does. So Nick Saban's there. Like, a lot of people didn't like Steve Spurrier, but I love the old ball coach.
I thought he was a fraud. That was a big.
Well, I just liked he was golfing all the time. I appreciate Spurrier.
I don't like that.
I didn't take him seriously.
Yeah.
The other guys.
Yeah, but who else did you want to see lose?
Jimmy Johnson.
All right, I like that.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson's certainly in there. Like Switzer, I didn't have the same vitriol for that I did Jimmy Johnson.
Because he was dumb.
Yeah. Because he was a boob.
Right.
And they won despite him. Yeah. They won despite him. I mean, Landry's too easy, and I'm not going to go back that far. The other guys that I'd love to see lose, I love to see. I'm trying to think who else would be on that list that would make that cut.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking around the league. Is there anybody like Mike Shanahan? Didn't bother me. I'm trying to think of guys that were good. McCarthy didn't bother me. There's not other guys that really bothered me. Tice, I'd like to see lose a little bit when he was coaching the Vikings.
Tice?
Yes, because of the stupid pencil in the ear. Like, that annoyed me. No other guys really. Like, Marv Levy was not a guy that
Marv Levy's a gentleman,
lose.
Man.
Yeah, he was.
I like Marv Levy.
He was debonair. You know?
Yeah, but he's not. I mean,
so who else besides Peyton would you have?
Well, if you go further, what about Mike Tomlin?
I like Mike Tomlin.
You like Mike Tomlin?
I do like Mike Tomlin. Yeah, he's Omar Epps in the program.
Yeah, it's great. I'm a little on the fence with Mike.
Okay, I think he's been there a long time.
You know what? It's funny because I loved him early, and then I've kind of like grown tired of him a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go through. I'm just looking at coaches. I'm trying to think back to coaches, too. Like, I don't like Shula.
You didn't like Don Shula?
No.
I like the fact that a guy used to wear a suit on the sideline. Now you got guys wearing a sweatsuit. The coach should still wear a suit with a fedora. That's a good look, like Hank Stram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.